That is a pretty fierce gospel. I'll come back to it, but we have never taught that Jesus was talking literally. We don't want people chopping off limbs and plucking out eyes. But maybe we need to revisit what we do with our touch, with our walk, with what we see, that we need to do a better job. But I'll come back to that. I wanted to start with the obvious. The gospel states that no one less than the Apostle John, the one we think is the beloved one, gets a little bit of jealousy. He says, "Jesus, we saw these two guys driving out demons in your name. We tried to stop him. Didn't do any good." And it's Jesus' answer that is so affirming, that anyone who does good deeds in my name, or even not knowing it is in his name, he is with us and for us and not against us. That is, there's only one place that good can come from, and that is from the love which God puts into all people. There is good in all people, even those who don't know anything about the Lord Jesus, because all were created in his image and likeness, and the Lord came to assume the humanity of all, and he died on the cross for the sins of all. And so he offers mercy, he offers goodness to all who would seek to be good. Remember, judgment is based on, this is Matthew 25, did you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and those who are in prison? If you did, welcome. If you didn't, apart from me. That's Matthew 25, very much a gospel of judgment. And so you and I need to, first of all, the first point, realize that we have been blessed. God has been good to us. Even on bad days, the Lord still loves us. And so therefore, we have a sincere and actually severe obligation to be kind to others. And that's the key. Can we be forgiving and kind to others, even if they have been unjust to us? Because that goodness, if it doesn't help them, will help us. And so Jesus also says in the gospel about being good to others, giving them a cup of water, being kind to them. Now that's the least that we can do, humanly speaking. In the first reading, an incredible Old Testament kind of reading, you need to know a little bit of the history. Moses went to his father-in-law with the great name of Jethro. And he says, "I got too much work to do. All these people are coming," sounds like modern life, "and asking me for this and asking me for that." And it was Jethro, the pagan, whose daughter Zipporah was Moses' wife. That was the herdsman that he met when he went up to check the fire on the mountain. Okay. It was Jethro who says, "Hey, Moses, get yourself some help." This makes sense to us. And so he chose 70 people to help him. It was these 70, we hear the word 70, a full complement of help, that the Spirit was given. And then they came, well, there's these two who weren't there and they're doing good work. Again, a little bit like John. They're prophesying. And this was no one less than Moses' great help, and he says, would that everyone be given the Spirit. So very positive teachings that we want to see good triumph. But let me sort of do the negative side just a little bit to keep us on the right track. First of all, maybe in our time we need to recommit ourselves to reminding our leaders and reminding our fellow co-workers that we need to take care of especially children. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Wherever abuse is, family, school, church, we've got to work to eradicate it and take care of our children. You'll hear a little bit later in the announcements, some of the bishops and even the Pope has asked us to pray a little harder. So we're going to include the prayer to St. Michael, our namesake, at the end of Masses starting next week in October. We need the power of God so that we might do good. In the second reading from James, we have a more social or political reminder that material goods will not last. They will corrode. That's one of the words that's used. And then it reminds us that we need to be just. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields, it was more agricultural then, are crying aloud. The wages you withheld are crying aloud. There's another image that if we have acted unjustly, the very stones of these walls will cry out against the injustice. We've been called to a very high standard of justice. And I suspect I'm preaching to the choir. You and I, we want to do this. But my suspicion is that there's quite a bit of injustice out there. Folks who do not treat others with justice. We must pray. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of the slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. That is, oftentimes the good do not defend themselves, or they are too young, or they are too weak or poor, or have no help. So it seems that the readings today, they are powerful, but they give us a direction. First of all, we are blessed. And so God has been good to us. We must do good as best we can. We must pray for the Spirit to prophesy the good news of God. We must pray that we take care of the little ones, the innocent, those who need our care. We must pray that justice be done, especially for folks who have far less than we do, who have no recourse to assistance. And finally, we should realize that the Lord is known, made present through us. That's the powerful news. that people might see the Lord through us. I pray that for me and for my fellow priests, for our bishops and cardinals, and for the Pope. All of us have to pray that the folks might see God's goodness through us.